Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Isn't it a wonderful day? Thursday, January 26, 2012. I am so excited to be here. I am just really thrilled about the discussion that we had yesterday and the direction that this call is going and the growth that I'm seeing in myself and the growth that we're seeing in so many people who are participating in this forum. So I want to just welcome you, give yourself a pat on the back. Thank you for being here in the morning. I know it's early for some of you, but I'll tell you these things that we're talking about here daily on this call are really the keys to life. You know, as Melvin and I and Bill were talking about, well, 2 days ago, Melvin and I got into a little discussion about, you know, the major definite purpose and the self-confidence formula. And he was like, well, Paul, which one's more important? And I would say, well, Melvin, both of them are important. And he'd say, but no, Paul, which one's more important? I'd say, Melvin, both of them are important. You got to have your major definite goal. Otherwise, you're not going to hit it. And then you have to build the belief in yourself so that you'll be able to take action. And he said, Paul, in the long run, which one's more important? And I finally got what he was trying to say. And what he was trying to say is this. The money is a byproduct. Really, the money is not what's important here. What's important here is that we all develop the beliefs in ourselves, that we develop the self-confidence, that we start to understand these truths that Melvin talked about yesterday, that we are worth, we have great value, that we are handsome and beautiful people, that we are smart, that we can influence others for good. All of these things that you know are deprogrammed or are programmed out of us, we need to program back in. And yesterday we talked about how repetition of an idea mixed with emotion, mixed with visualization, is one of the best ways we can program our minds. Melvin talked about being like a robot, and I love this. I love what Melvin said yesterday, and I shared this with my wife last night. He said, you know, you got to be like a robot, and somebody says, you're stupid, does not compute. Or somebody says, you know, you're handsome or you're smart, thank you, want more. And that's such a great way to look at things, because that's what we have to do. We literally have to watch the thoughts that come to our ears and come to our eyes and determine which ones we're going to let in and which ones we're going to reject. And kind of along those lines, today what I wanted to do is, I've noticed working with people, one of the things that I noticed a lot of people do, and I've been guilty of this, of course, myself, is we sometimes tend to dwell on the past. We sometimes tend to bring up again and again and again negative things that have happened to us before. And we sometimes also tend to dwell on our trials and tribulations that we have. And I just want to point something out to everybody, including myself. If we, with this idea that repetition of thought will embed something deep into our subconscious mind and will actually program our subconscious mind, this repetition of thought, this idea that an idea we repeat again and again to ourselves, eventually we become to believe as a truth. If we are repeating the negative things that have happened to us or the trials and tribulations that we have, if we repeat those again and again and again, what's going to happen to us? It really, I believe, is going to be a huge inhibitor of allowing us to move forward. And so one of the things that I believe that people should do, and one of the things that I try to do, is not dwell and not bring up the things that have happened. I think occasionally it's useful, yes. But we need to get in the habit of looking forward into the future and focusing on the things that we're going to achieve and focusing on, you know, the positives of life, and try to eliminate, if we can, from our vocabulary and from our thought, all of those negative things that might have happened to us in the past, or even negative things that are happening to us today. Because I'll tell you, talking about them doesn't really serve anybody. It doesn't serve the person doing the talking. In some cases, it does. Some cases, yes, it's good to talk about things that you're struggling with so that people can help you. You can address them. But then you can just wipe them out and move forward. And one idea I wanted to share with everybody. I've got a friend. He's very talented, and he makes a lot of money, like just an unbelievable amount of money. And he's really into a lot of these things we're talking about, mindset and beliefs and discovering, you know, programming your mind with the beliefs that are powerful and getting rid of the beliefs that are not powerful. And he's kind of come to a conclusion that's very interesting, and it's one that I don't necessarily agree with. He's come to the conclusion that you should have whatever beliefs that are useful to you. And he says that truth is so hard to determine and find that he doesn't worry about having beliefs that are in alignment with the truth, but he worries about having beliefs that are useful to him. And my belief is that you should strive to be in alignment with the truth. I think we should try to find the truth and align our beliefs with the truth. But nonetheless, this word that he used that I've pondered over quite a few times since he first shared this idea with me, this word of useful, I think it is useful to ask yourself what is useful to you. And is it useful to talk about and dwell on the negative things that are happening? And my answer would be no. And I'm reminded of a quote that Melvin shared on the call the other day that's really stuck with me. And he says, you know, the person that doesn't have any shoes might sit around and worry about the fact that they don't have any shoes until they meet the person that doesn't have any feet. And isn't that so profound that our problems sometimes seem so big to us that we worry about them and we talk about them and we allow them to hold us back. But when we really take a look at what other human beings have had to go through in the past and are currently going through, our problems really, most of them, will pale into insignificance when we do that. And so on that note, I wanted to share something with everybody on the call today that has been a very powerful reference point for me in my life. It was probably about 5 or 6 years ago that I read this book. This book is called Man's Search for Meaning, and it's by Viktor Frankl. And I do recommend that everybody read this book. If you don't have it, I recommend you find it. You can get it on, you know, the internet for $1 or $2, or go into a thrift store, and most times you can find it for 50 cents. But it's a powerful book. This Viktor Frankl was an individual that was imprisoned in the Nazi death camps. He was in one of the worst death camps. His wife and children were killed. He had to endure for a period of 3 years some of the most inhumane circumstances that you could ever even imagine a person would have to endure, you know, stripped naked, put into a group of other human beings and prodded around like cattle, starved to where everyone was so malnourished. I mean, you could go on and on and on with the suffering that these people had to go through. And I want to share today with you some of the pieces from this book, because it really will drive home a very, very powerful point that if we'll understand this point and use it as a reference in our lives, I think we can really start to look at all of our problems and all of the things that might happen as really not that big of a deal. So I want to share this with you. Frankl writes, the reason he wrote this book, he says, I had wanted simply to convey to the reader, by way of concrete example, that life holds a potential meaning under any circumstances, even the most miserable ones. And I thought that if the point were demonstrated in a situation as extreme as that in a concentration camp, my book might gain a hearing. I therefore felt responsible for writing down what I had gone through, for I thought it might be helpful to people who are prone to despair. And this is from the preface of the book written by Gordon W. Allport. And he writes, In one life, there is love for one's children to tie to. In another life, a talent to be used. In a third, perhaps only lingering memories worth preserving. As a longtime prisoner in a bestial concentration camps, he, Viktor Frankl, found himself stripped to naked existence. His father, mother, brother, and his wife died in camps or were sent to gas ovens, so that excepting for his sister, his entire family perished in these camps. How could he, every possession lost, every value destroyed, suffering from hunger, cold, and brutality, hourly expecting extermination, how could he find life worth preserving? Even in the degradation and abject misery of a concentration camp, Frankl was able to exercise the most important freedom of all, the freedom to determine one's own attitude and spiritual well-being. No sadistic Nazi SS guard was able to take that away from him or control the inner life of Frankl's soul. One of the ways he found the strength to fight, to stay alive, and not lose hope was to think of his wife. Frankl clearly saw that it was those who had nothing to live for who died quickest in the concentration camp. And Friedrich Nietzsche wrote, "He who has a why for life can put with any how." And I want to read to you this piece from the book, Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl. He wrote this while being marched to forced labor in a Nazi concentration camp. "We stumbled on in the darkness, over big stones and through large puddles, along the one road running through the camp. The accompanying guards kept shouting at us and driving us with the butts of their rifles. Anyone with very sore feet supported himself on his neighbor's arm. Hardly a word was spoken. The icy wind did not encourage talk. Hiding his hand behind his upturned collar, the man marching next to me whispered suddenly, 'If our wives could see us now, I do hope they are better off in their camps and don't know what is happening to us.' That brought thoughts of my own wife to mind as we stumbled on for miles, slipping on icy spots, supporting each other time and again, dragging one another on and upward. Nothing was said, but we both knew each of us was thinking of his wife. Occasionally, I looked at the sky, where the stars were fading and the pink light of the morning was beginning to spread behind a dark bank of clouds. But my mind clung to my wife's image, imagining it with uncanny acuteness. I heard her answering me, saw her smile, her frank and encouraging look. Real or not, her look then was more luminous than the sun, which was beginning to rise. A thought transfixed me. For the first time in my life, I saw the truth as it is set into song by so many poets, proclaimed as the final wisdom by so many thinkers. The truth that love is the ultimate and highest goal to which man can aspire. Then I grasped the meaning of the greatest secret that human poetry and human thought and belief have to impart. The salvation of man is through love and in love. I understood how a man who has nothing left in this world may still know bliss, be it only for a brief moment, in the contemplation of his beloved. In a position of utter desolation, when a man cannot express himself in positive action, when his only achievement may consist in enduring his sufferings in the right way, an honorable way, in such a position, man can, through loving contemplation of the image he carries of his beloved, achieve fulfillment. For the first time in my life, I was able to understand the words, "The angels are lost in perpetual contemplation of an infinite glory. In front of me, a man stumbled, and those following fell on top of him. The guard rushed over and used his whip on them all. Thus, my thoughts were interrupted for a few minutes, but soon my soul found its way back from the prisoner's existence to another world, and I resumed talk with my loved one. I asked her questions, and she answered. She questioned me in return, and I answered. My mind still clung to the image of my wife. A thought crossed my mind. I didn't even know if she were still alive, and I had no means of finding out. During all my prison life, there was no outgoing or incoming mail. But at that moment, it ceased to matter. There was no need to know. Nothing could touch the strength of my love and the thoughts of my beloved. Had I known then that my wife was dead, I think that I still would have given myself, undisturbed by that knowledge, to the contemplation of that image, and that my mental conversation with her would have been just as vivid and just as satisfying. Set me like a seal upon thy heart. Love is as strong as death." And I want to share with you in closing here a couple of final quotes from Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl wrote this, "Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. So what happens to us, we have a choice as to how we're going to respond to that mentally, emotionally, physically. And another quote, everything can be taken from a man or a woman, but one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way, can never be taken from us. Viktor Frankl said, the ability to choose our own attitude in any given set of circumstances. Wow, just incredibly powerful lessons from this amazing man. And I just wanted to share this with everybody because, you know, sometimes our problems in life just seem so big when our nose is right up against the mountain. That mountain looks so huge. But when we back up a couple of miles and look at the mountain doesn't look quite as big. And I'm hoping that this story can help all of us understand that, you know, our problems really are not that big, and let's move forward in faith and power. So that's the message for today. Bill, Melvin, anyone on the line? Bill, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here, Paul.
You sound great, Bill.
I am great, Paul. I'm terrific.
Awesome.
I'm alive, awake, aware, and enthusiastic, and I love everything that you said. Matter of fact, I agree with it 100%. I would say for me personally, the greatest equalizer to a great attitude is physical pain. But as long as you're carrying a positive attitude, you can accomplish anything. And I'm proof of that. I am very much proof of that. And for all the obstacles and mountains that I've had to climb in my life with all the traumatic events in my life, I'll tell you what, a great attitude, that's what it takes. And every single morning when I get up, I do feel terrific. I do feel alive, awake, aware, and enthusiastic. Even though I know I'm faced with challenges, and we're all faced with challenges, as long as your attitude is up. I get up in the morning, I listen to a song or two, it puts a smile on my face, or I pick up some emails from some friends of mine that have some funny pictures or funny jokes or what have you, and that puts a smile on my face. Here, I lost a good friend yesterday, a neighborhood child friend that passed away, and I was very upset about it, and it brought me back to memories of our childhood. But then once I got through it, I realized he's at peace now, and really the people that are mourning and suffering are the people left here on earth. But he's fine. He's in peace, and that's all that really matters. And the people left here on earth will be in peace soon after they go through their mourning period. I've had lots of death in my life, too, so I understand it. And so I'm just saying, as you face forward and look forward to your day, to go out there, put a smile on your face, realize who you are, your loving, giving, natural abilities. We all have the same abilities. We're all born the same. You know, presidents are not born. Leaders are not born. They're not born leaders. We always say that all the time. Nobody is born anything but a baby. And we're all given the same talents. We're all given the same abilities. Some of us have far-reaching abilities in one area more than another, but our different abilities, that's why we're here. We're here on this call to find what our true own abilities are. And each one of us has our own beautiful, insane, gorgeous talents. And each one of us has those things. And what we talked about yesterday, you know, that was a touchy subject yesterday. We went into some touchy areas that were hurtful and hard to talk about, but it gave an emotional attachment to them. And so when you go through life and you realize that, okay, yeah, I have these challenges, I deal with them, okay, well then put them aside and then go out in the world and face people, look them straight in the eye, walk tall, be proud of who you are, have confidence. I always say, fake it till you make it. I know Melvin said something negative or said something about not faking it yesterday, but it worked for me. It worked for me. And so we're all different. So whatever works for you, apply it and smile and do things in the morning that will put you in that positive mood. getting on this call, talking to Paul, listening to Paul, listening to me, listening to Melvin, listening to other people on the call, whatever triggers that attitude, you know, go out there, face the world with it, and your day will be awesome, because just like I've said in the past, you can visualize, if you have to commute to work, if you still have a J-O-B, just over broke, if you still have to commute to work, if you get up in the morning and visualize, oh my God, I'm going to get every red light, and I'm going to lose my keys, and I'm going to spill coffee on myself, and oh, my car's probably not going to start. If you visualize that, if you think that way, guess what? It's going to happen. Maybe not all those things, but a lot of them are going to happen. So you have to get up in the morning and visualize it's going to be a great day. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to plan this. I can't wait to see those people. I can't wait to talk to those people. And then your day will be a positive force. It will be a positive force in your life. Get excited about where you're going. Have fun with it. And live it up. Remember, today is the only day we've got. Today is my best day. Period. Thanks, Paul.
Always a pleasure, Bill. And you reminded me, Denise shared a quote on the Think and Grow Rich page the other day. She said, if you awake every morning with the thought that something wonderful will happen in your life today, you will often find that you are right. So you just reminded me of that. Expect the best, and you're going to find those things. So great comments. Let's go ahead and open it up.
Hey, Paul, can you?
Star 6 to unmute your line. I heard Melvin jumping on there here. Just star 6, Melvin. Star 6 to unmute your
line. Can you hear me?
I can, sir, yes.
One of the things I want to do here is just, by the way, Paul, you're just like a sponge, this information that you're soaking up and the things that you remember. I mean, you're doing yourself a world of a good, and you're sharing that with others, and that's just fantastic. I think what you said about Franco is kind of what I was getting at when I said of the two, which is the most important, because the one you can make it without the other, but if the other one if you're only faking it, it won't make it. I mention Michael Jackson and Elvis Presley all the time because of their popularity, their fame, their money, and everybody thinks they've got everything, but without that base that others, it makes no difference. That foundation is so very important, and that's why that has to be number one, and that's what Franco was talking about, and everybody can acquire that because it's within each of us. Stepping over to a minute to what I meant when I said, you know, as far as fake it till you make it, think about faking it till you make it as a crutch. And you need it for support for a while, but there's a point that you have to reach to where you no longer need that crutch, and you cast it away, and you now stand on your own two feet and walk, and it's no longer a faking it. And so we have to make sure we're not getting into the faking it until we make it, and we just stay into that. Because that's only a step from one thing to another. That's not something that we stay into. So these calls are fantastic. I really appreciate them, and I enjoy being on them. And with that, back to you.
Thank you, Melvin, and I learned so much from you. I really appreciate you being here, and always being willing to share with me and everybody on the call your wisdom, because you've really helped me grow a lot. So thank you, and great, great comments. The pearl of great price. I'm reminded of that, you know, quote. I think it might be somewhere in the Bible. You know, what is the pearl of great price? What is the greatest treasure? What is the acres of diamonds? And it is what we're talking about here. It's developing that inner strength, that inner you know, that inner confidence of, you know, just being who you are and being the best person you can be. I remember the book Psycho Cybernetics, Maxwell Maltz talks about how everybody loves a baby, you know, everybody loves a baby. Babies are full of personality and everybody loves them. And then we grow up and we're programmed into thinking that, well, nobody's going to love me. I don't have a good personality. I'm not, what do you mean? We were all born that way. We just lose it through bad programming. So becoming the best that you can be, developing your inner strength, that really is the pearl of great price. Anyone else? Star 6, unmute your line.
Paul, this is Joy.
Hey, Joy.
How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to mention on circumstances. Of course, I didn't make the call yesterday because I was in a meeting of suits telling us that our company sold out on us and another company was there that was going to take us over. And there were so many sad faces, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, this is so exciting. Get out of your box. I mean, they're in their comfort zone. This company really wasn't all that great for us, but the next company coming in, they're not seeing it. They're just seeing their comfort zone. So, I'm up, and everybody's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, sorry for what? I'm blessed and highly favored. So I'm going to pass that on and how we go through our trials and how we're going to trust.
Awesome. Thank you for that insight. Blessed and highly favored. Great. I heard Rick there. Rick, are you there?
Yes. Good morning. I forgot what I was going to say. I got into a new thought, you know. We're talking about, here's something I want to say. Here's two thoughts I want to leave the team with, okay? And you really want to focus on the things that you don't have that you want, okay? And you have to have those pictures, because everything we actually do, that we communicate with, we're thinking back in those when we remember. We remember all these things in pictures. So it's very important, even when we're talking about these things on the call, everybody is seeing it a different way. Everybody is seeing what we're saying. They have a different picture in their mind. And you have to get a picture. You have to paint a pretty picture. You have to be thinking about the things that you don't have that you want, and not the things that you have right now that you don't want. Because if you focus on those, I truly believe that. And that's really what I believe. And the next thing I want to really say to you guys, and I think that you have to adopt, is that your mind is your own. Your own mind is your own, and you have to be in charge of it. You have to protect it. If we got parents on here, and I'm certain of that. Everybody's grown up. Your parents is always telling you don't hang out with a certain group. You know, don't do certain things. And those very same things, the reason why you tell your kids those are the same reasons why we need to do those ourselves. And be careful when you get off these calls, where you go, who you listen to. Protect yourself. After this call, you should continue that somewhere along the line in your car, listening to information at night. Make it a point to read 20, 30 minutes a day. You know, you gotta keep putting information in your head. You gotta keep packing your head and diluting the negative with good information. If you don't, there is so much other negative that's going to come in. The stuff, you can't get rid of it, but you can dilute it. And that's pretty much what I have to say this morning. I want to thank you guys for letting me speak.
Thank you, Rick. Very, very good and valid point. You know, I would just add one thing to the first part of what you said. The Science of Getting Rich, I remember that book, talks about being in an attitude of gratitude all the time for the things that are going to come into your life, and also the things that you already have. And, you know, that book says that the attitude of gratitude puts you in harmony with the intelligence of the infinite substance that spread throughout the universe. And so as we're focusing on the things that we do want to come into our lives, I would just encourage everyone to also be as grateful as possible for all of the wonderful things that we have in our lives at the same time. So be grateful for that which is coming, but also look around. I mean, there's so many things, no matter what situation we're in, there's so many things to be grateful for. Definitely practice that attitude of gratitude.
Paul?
Good morning. Good
yes.
morning.
Oh. Hello, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Michael from Maryland.
Michael from Maryland. Good morning, sir.
First time contributor.
Oh, welcome to the call. Great to have you here.
Well, I've been on the call, but I just first time speaking up.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I remember last week, I think it was Melvin was talking about, come on, everybody, you know, step up to the plate and add something. So I just wanted to share that I think you ever go that driving down the interstate and all of a sudden the traffic slows down and you're thinking, man, there must be something bad going on. And you go. And when you get up there, there's nothing really up there. It just takes back off and go. Maybe
mm-hmm.
it's an accident. Maybe it's a cop on the side of the road is an accident. Everybody's slowing down to look at that. And I just wanted to remind people that, because I remember, it reminds me of Jim Rohn, when Jim Rohn says, you know, let the 30s do 30, let the 60s do 60, and let the 100s do 100. You know, he said it almost killed him to try to get a 30 to do 100. Okay? So what we need to remember is, as we're going through this thing, some people are not going to want it as much as we want it. They're just going to want a little bit of it. So let them be comfortable until they see you moving on. Because even when you're jogging, if you take off jogging and somebody starts to slow down, if you slow down to their pace, then everybody's comfortable. But if you keep moving, they're either going to catch up or quit. So don't let people slow you down as you're going through this thing. Just keep it moving. Keep going. Keep your pace. And let the ones that want to run with you run, and the ones that want to walk, just help them. You know, every time you come around, help them. Come around, help them. But don't slow down to their pace while you're waiting on them to do something. So that's what I have to say. Thank you very much, and I thank you all, the leaders on this call, because I get tremendous uplift every day that I listen to this. So thank you very much.
Thank you for stepping out and sharing that, Michael. That was just really, really valuable stuff. Thank you very much.
Hey, Paul, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that was beautiful what Michael just shared. And that's why everybody needs to speak up and speak out, because they all have a little jewel to share. And I heard something yesterday from it's kind of funny. I heard this from Neil. I was on the phone talking to Neil yesterday, and he says, my wife is going, is losing her mind, and I said, what's happening, Neil? He said, well, she's giving me a piece of it every morning. And I thought real cute one, but that little cute thought that he shared and what Michael just shared, these little things, these little pearls, and everybody on this phone has them. That's why. Getting over the fear and putting them out there enriches both their lives and ours. So I hope everybody just keeps coming forward. And back to you.
Absolutely.
Hi,
Paul.
This is Krista. I have something to add. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Krista.
Yeah, hi. I've talked in the past about a book that I've been reading called The Traveler's Gift, and I just wanted, we were just talking about being grateful. And there's a quote from one of the seven decisions, which is, I choose to be happy. And this is what it says, just a section of it. It says, my God has bestowed upon me many gifts, and for these I will remember to be grateful. Too many times I have offered up the prayers of a beggar, always asking for more and forgetting to give thanks. I do not wish to be seen as a greedy child, unappreciative and disrespectful. I am grateful for sight and sound and breath. If ever in my life there is a pouring out of blessings beyond that, then I will be grateful for the miracle of abundance.
Very beautiful. Quote. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Krista.
Who is that by, Krista?
The book was written by Andy Andrews, and it's called The Traveler's Gift. It's awesome. I think this guy has really read, like, every single book that we've discussed on this thing, and then turned it into, like, a fictional piece of work with all these little jewels, these seven decisions for a successful life. It's a wonderful book and really great for the person that's a non-reader, that you're, if you're always trying to get them to read, you know, these self-help books, a lot of people are turned off by that. Give them this one,
right,
because it's written in a fictional format.
Yeah, I read the Road Less Traveled, which is similar, I think, to that. Paul, I wanted to add something today. You know, I love my little short, passionate things. And this is what to say when you talk to yourself. And this helps me a lot. I read this almost every day. I am intensely passionate, incredibly happy, and purpose-driven. I am free. I am bold as a lion. I overcome. I am unstoppable. I am constantly producing strategies for success. I do the things I don't want to do now so that I can do the things that I want to do for the rest of my life. Say that again. I do the things I don't want to do now so that I can do the things that I want to do for the rest of my life. That speaks exactly what DeMelvin was talking about, doing the hard so it becomes easy. God bless him for that. I cannot allow the way I feel about what I have to keep me from doing what I have to do. I cannot allow the way I feel about what I have to do keep me from doing what I have to do. And then I'll leave you with that, Paul. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. Always just fabulous thoughts. Thank you very much. Anyone else
hey,
want
Paul.
To jump out here?
Yeah, Mark. Hey, man, Mark in California.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, you know, as far as visualizing and in your head, imaging and the affirmations like Bill just spoke there, it's, you know, it's a biblical principle that tells us to call things that aren't as though they are. And then also as far as the fake it till you make it, Joyce Meyer says do it afraid.
Say that one more time. Do what?
Do it afraid.
Do it afraid. So even though you're afraid, just do it anyway.
Yeah, right, because, you know, there's things that, you know, it's like even stepping out and speaking online. Just do it. You're afraid, but you do it, you know.
Great. Yeah, absolutely.
But then also, the calling the things that aren't as though they were. That's what we're doing with our affirmation, you know, as though they exist already.
Absolutely. Belief in things that are not yet seen but are true. Just because we can't see them yet, just because they're not in our reality yet, doesn't mean that they're not true. I heard a definition of truth one time that says truth is as things as they really were, as they really are, and as they really will be. So there is truth that lies in the future that we just can't see. So I love that, Mark. Thank you for sharing that. Calling things that aren't, even though – what was that? Calling things – say that one more time.
Call things that aren't as though they were. Or call things that aren't as though they are, you know.
Awesome. Awesome.
Hey, Paul.
Love you, man. Thank you. Yes.
Okay.
There's a thing that I mentioned before. I'm going to mention to people again because I think it's so – well, first of all, one of the things you're dealing with on this call is Think and Grow Rich. I think that is a profound book, and there's so many great books there. It's just one of them that I think people should definitely read. But besides that book, if everybody has not got If, they need to get If by Rudyard Kipling. I mean, or look it up. Pull up If and read If. That is so powerful. And if you read If once a day, that thing is going to just help to convert you. It's one powerful one sheet of paper, the thing called If. And so just wanted to throw that out there.
Thank you. That's a book I have not read, If.
No,
very
it's not
good.
A book. It's,
oh, it's not a book. Oh,
no.
It's a, oh yeah, okay.
If,
it's just
If by Rudyard Kipling.
Oh, so we can just pull that up right on the internet.
That's right.
Okay, great. All right, folks. Well, listen, thanks, everyone, for the great discussion. If you weren't able to get things out, definitely go to Facebook, look up We Are Think and Grow Rich, share any other thoughts that you had that didn't get out or additions to the discussion today. A lot of times I notice that the discussion continues on after the call there on that Facebook page. And let us remember, as we go throughout the day, that we all have a choice, and that is to cower, to cope, or to conquer. And I'm hoping that each of us on this call will choose to face our day in the conquering mode. Get out there, attack it, make it happen, do the things we know we need to do, and let's design the lives that we want to have in the future by taking action today. I love each of you. Thanks, everyone, for the comments. Let's get out and make it a great day, and we'll see you back tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call.